Recorded live at the wonderful Big Sushi Studio, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Slaughter Film.
Hello, you filthy animals. I am Corey Kurtzjern Carr, and I'm accompanied, as always, by Forrest Taylor. And this is Slaughter Film, the weekly podcast devoted to reviewing the films that are legendary, even in hell, complete with bad Stallone impersonations.
Yeah. we have a good one today. As you guys probably know, last year, the new reboot of Judge Dredd came out, and hardly anybody saw it, even though it was pretty badass. But we that got us thinking. We need to do a compare and contrast. Compare the much maligned original Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone and Rob Schneider, and compare that to the new one, who has Carl Urban, I believe his name is, the guy from Lord of the Rings.
Sounds about right.
And, of course, joining us in this is, of course, our producer, John Linvey, because he was on our back about seeing the new Judge Dredd
for
8 years.
I think I'm going to go ahead and claim all responsibility for this show, this one happening.
Yeah, this is all you.
when we first mentioned it last week, I was like, yeah, because Dredd, you know, I'm a big comic book guy, and I like the new movie and stuff. But then I thought about it more, and I'm like, does that fit into our thing? Like, yes. Especially the first one, because it's, like, such an action movie. Oh. But then, like, I thought about it more, and I thought more about, like, the comic book and, like, that whole post-apocalyptic type story. And I'm like, fuck it, we're doing it. It's too good not to do.
This is Slaughter Film, and people get slaughtered in the Dredd movies, so there you go.
If you're going to do a review on A Boy and His Dog, I think Dredd...
Yeah.
Can fit in near there.
Certainly the new one.
The old
the
one.
The Stallone one, it's just such an action movie.
And honestly, I mean, you guys don't really have any standards anymore. Forrest talked about Battleship for Christ's sake.
I did talk about Battleship.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck Forrest does.
I also take all responsibility for that, too, so maybe I'm the problem.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I'm a rebel. I play by my own rules. If I want to do Congo, I'm going to fucking do it.
I can go out on a weeknight like that.
That's right. I can go to a movie on a school night like that.
So we're talking about two movies that are separated by basically almost more than 10 years.
17 years
of film, making progression, technology.
Yeah.
Yep. And based on one badass comic book series that I have not read. So sadly, my knowledge of the comic book is very, very limited.
Should we start with that? Should we start by talking about
comic book?
At the very least,
we got to mention it.
Right. Because I think, from my understanding, the comic book is terrific. And it's been going on for, 35 years?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, about 40.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is incredible.
Yeah,
for any series.
The guy who created Dredd was John Wagner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's still writing it.
And, this Dredd got popular in... a magazine that's printed in the UK called 2000 AD, and I think it's weekly publication.
Mm-hmm.
Every week there's like another Dredd story, and has been forever. My first introduction to Dredd was, of course, the 1995 Stallone movie, and also growing up being interested in comic books, I read Wizard magazine. And so, I would always learn a little bit about, Judge Dredd or, Sin City, stuff that I couldn't get wherever the fuck I found comic books,
right.
You know what I mean?
The woods.
Yeah, so, I knew they were out there, but other than a few splash pages here or there, I didn't really know much.
Yeah.
But other than that, there was a series of Dredd comic books printed here, for the States. And upon researching those more, I found out they were just, reprints of the old. So, I have almost this entire line of comics, and I'm like, yeah, as soon as I polish that off, as soon as I get those last two issues, I'm going to sit down and read them all. And I'm like, wouldn't it be easier just to find the trades? And this is how I discovered this information. There aren't trades of that, because they're all just reprints of these older stories that also have trades. But I'm like, now I'm totally confused.
Totally boned, yeah.
Well, from what I understand, they're starting a new series that's specifically for Americas. They're relaunching Dredd basically for us.
Oh, cool.
Because I guess it never really caught on here because it's a British comic.
Right.
I don't know if you pointed that out, but
and
John Wagner's been writing it since the beginning, but he's stepped out. I think there's maybe 4 or 5 people who work on Dredd.
Oh.
That's just crazy because for most comics people like Marvel there's a revolving door of authors
especially now with the way Marvel and DC print comics, every 6 issues starts a new story arc, so they always bring on like a different artist or a different writer.
I hate the different artists when they change, because sometimes I get really attached to how it, like, the art looks, and then they change it like, no, go back to the old one. It was so much better.
Or you get a good artist with a shitty story, and the only reason you're still reading it is because it looks so pretty.
Right. Well, we could just talk about comic books forever, but
that's true.
Yeah. Dredd.
Well, when Judge Dredd first came out in 95, I didn't even know it was based on a comic. Like, I just thought it was the new Stallone movie. Right. And then when I saw it on video, the opening credits, they actually show like issues of the Dredd comic. And I was like, oh, it's a comic book series. Oh, okay, I didn't know that. And then my only knowledge to Judge Dredd besides the new movie was the badass Anthrax song I Am the Law from their Among the Living album. That song kicks fucking ass, and it's probably like more Judge Dredd than the Stallone movie, but we won't get into that, except to say that it's fucking awesome. It has one of the best guitar riffs ever.
So does that put the original Judge Dredd movie as like one of the earliest comic book movies? I mean, there was Superman and Spider-Man,
It was before Spider-Man.
But Superman happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Superman.
It was after Superman and Batman, like, made comic books popular, but before, like, Steel and Batman and Robin totally killed it off in order for it to be reborn. So it was sort of like in that, like, middle stage, you know?
Right.
Yeah. There weren't a lot of comic book movies at the time, but they were going downhill.
They were going downhill hardcore. Yeah.
Then you have Tank Girl.
Yeah. I think it was the same year as Tank Girl. I think Tank Girl was
right
95
there,
also.
Yeah. Which, that's like a perfect example how it seemed like these major studios were looking harder for a property to turn into a franchise, but then they couldn't quite get it right.
It's so weird. They were getting all the obscure ones, though. Like, I had never heard of Judge Dredd and Tank Girl until the movies came out. So it's like, before they got, like, Spider-Man or the X-Men, they got Tank Girl.
I guess maybe it also had to do with, like, the visual effects at the time. Like, doing Spider-Man back then would probably be real hard. I mean, that musical was doing great, right?
Oh. I'm sorry for you, Julie Taymor. I really am. But actually, Spider-Man, they were trying to make a Spider-Man movie since, like, 1993, and it was in development hell for the longest time. Like, originally, it was going to be written and directed by James Cameron, and Schwarzenegger was going to play Dr. Octopus. I'm not sure if you guys knew that or not.
But I'd be okay with that. Yeah. I'd be all right. I'm okay with that
Cameron,
idea.
Yeah.
So, we could have had Stallone as Judge Dredd and Schwarzenegger as Doc Ock.
And Mr. Freeze.
And Mr. Freeze.
Oh, God.
But enough of that. About that. I guess we'll discuss the first Dredd movie. And you're on that, aren't you? Oh, wait. First, we're going to...
Well, a little bit about Dredd. We kind of just talked about the comics. Like, how it got started. But, like... Yeah. Okay, just because this will save time later, because we're going to be talking about the same character and all of his background's the same. So, this is set in the future after the Apocalypse War or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, the entire populations live inside these things called Megacities. Which is like... like think New York City, but the size of states.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. The way they describe it is that if imagine from Washington D.C. like all the way to like the top of Maine, that's one city, which is that's massive.
Yeah, there's like 80 million people living
it's
in it.
Mega, it's a mega city.
And instead of having just normal skyscrapers, these skyscrapers are like blocks wide and you know 100 plus stories tall. And people are just jam-packed in there. They're overcrowded, and violence is rampant. And the only thing stopping criminals from having, like, total run over these megacities are the judges, which are sort of like police, but the justice system has failed over the past however many years. And so now the judges have the authority to not only stop criminals, but to judge them on site and administer their punishment, which often includes death.
Yep. We should probably also point out that the reason that everyone's packed into these megacities is because most of the Earth is now like a scorched nuclear wasteland called the Cursed Earth.
Right.
It's just like swarming with mutants and all sorts of other abominations and stuff. So.
Also, I think there are so many of them because they keep fucking. But
well, that too. But the reason they can't spread out more, you know?
Yeah, but what I really love about it, and I guess... When you line it all up like that, I mean, because since it was a British comic, and I think why I'm saying this is just of how like they're poking fun out of like kind of like their extreme capitalist nature of, you know, the states.
Britain was going through horrible political turmoil at the time that these comic books were made.
So they're basically taking every single like social problem that they faced and then just took it to like the nth degree. And that's why I think it's really great because like, you know, it's illegal to be fat in this future. Like
it's getting that
so
way here.
Right?
You know, and I think it's really great. And so I think as a framework to start, I think it's a really cool universe because this is my favorite type of sci-fi where it's you take normal ideas and problems that we deal with today and then take them to the exhaustible end to see how they hold up way out there. And I love it. I love it. even watching some of the old Dread videos, they just get some things like really right about like how I picture the future to be, you know,
right.
Like, just ads everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, everyone is poor except for like the super, super rich. And violence is like, okay.
So you said it was in from like the early 70s, right? It was in Dread came out.
Mid maybe.
Okay. So and I'm saying it was before Blade Runner because a lot of the design of Mega City looks like the Los Angeles in Blade Runner, which so many people are like, that's the original, like,
I don't know.
You know,
I think it's taking the same idea and then just going away with it, you know, like adverts, like billboards.
No.
What will billboards look like?
Well, I don't know, at the same time. That could have been just like adding a little bit of imagination to the old Metropolis movie.
Well,
yeah.
All sci-fi is influenced by Metropolis. So that's not the point.
Way to ruin everything cool.
Well, as far as like
break out the Metropolis car.
Huge cities, anyway.
Yeah,
conversation
right.
stops now. Metropolis.
So. Are we doing this? Like, we just sort of stopped there.
We had a moment.
Yeah, I was letting you thought.
We had a palpitation.
In a little bit. Yeah.
That's all right. There was a hiccup in The Matrix.
Don't bring up that movie. Don't ruin this conversation with that movie's name.
Oh, all right,
so did anybody watch the Super Bowl?
I heard about it, but I was working during the Super Bowl, so I just was like giving updates. Although, I was keeping up on the forum that I go to, and within, like, 5 minutes of the power outage, already people were photoshopping stuff. Like, I saw one of, like, the Superdome with the power out, and a subtitle said, "Go home, Superdome, you're drunk." And then, like, a couple minutes later, someone else photoshopped Bane in there. And then the next day, someone took the video. And when the lights went out, they started playing the Undertaker's theme. They just had the Undertaker's intro.
That's funny.
I love the internet so much.
Letterman or someone said, you know, he waits till after the Super Bowl to blackout. I blew it off. Oh. I was going to watch it just because it's there and, you know, why not? But then I started to think about it. I'm like, fuck it. Anything important that happens, I'm going to see tomorrow in the news. I mean, even the commercials are fucking newsworthy by the next day.
Right now,
so I blew that off, and I started rewatching Walking Dead Season 2, because I haven't watched any of 3 yet.
Oh.
So I figured, oh, I'll just do this, and I'll be better prepared. I'll be more familiar with what happened up until that point. So I'm still working on that. I forget, like, I don't know, until I got to the, like the 6th episode or whatever, I'm like, fuck, this is going to take longer than I thought. Oh, well.
Weren't you the one who told me you were liking season 2 better than season 1?
Yeah, the first time
like
I watched it.
An unpopular opinion right now.
Yeah, the first time I watched it as it aired, I was just like, meh. Hmm. But now that I'm rewatching it, I like it more. I think partly because some things that happened in season 2 were also in the comic. And it wasn't long after I read it, so I'm like, oh, there's no surprise or whatever. But there's a lot of emotional stuff that goes on that I like better now, seeing it the second time.
The second season of The Walking Dead, it's not terrible. Like, I mean, I don't think it's... a lot of people giving a really bad rap, but... I mean, the biggest problem is, like, the main issue that's, like, kind of holding everything up is, like, really artificial, and you can really tell... Is like why the real story isn't moving forward. So it's like because it's a really like contrived like explanation at the end, and you're like, really? We spent 8 episodes on this, and really, no one thought to do that. Okay, great, great. Carry on. Though this third season's really good.
Yeah,
it's
it looks
real good.
Awesome. A lot happens. It seems.
Yeah, it's still nowhere near as good as the comics. I will argue the show is good, but the comics are significantly better. easily.
And the video game. I've heard the video game.
The video game is terrific. If, yeah, yeah. No, like I could, I'll lose my mind talking about the video game. If you want to, if anyone here has played the video game and would love to hear more about it.
I want to, but I don't have time for video games right now. I'm so mad. Like, I've got so much going on.
On the Big Sushi site, we did a spoiled sushi in which we talked about the game kind of in spoilerific detail.
Yeah.
So if you've played through it and you want to hear someone else nerd out and gush about it, you can find that on the Big Sushi site. So,
gush. Good. That's a very descriptive, like, boner word. I like that.
What, gush?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Like when you talk about Batman, you fucking unicorn and gush all over this room. I gotta get the hose
it's
and
like,
clean it up.
You know, jizz in my pants. Like, right. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what. But I watched the Super Bowl.
Oh, wait, wait.
Yeah, you did watch
I'm
the
gushing.
Super Bowl. Yeah. No, I did watch the Super Bowl. It's a... I don't watch football anymore, but the only reason I watch the Super Bowl anymore is it's not even for the ads. It's because it's like one of the rare instances where there's a shared experience across the entire country.
That's true.
I mean, aside from the Super Bowl, we had the death of Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, and so
where every day, like everyone, like left the house and went to work, and we kind of smiled at each other because we all knew.
Right. It's just, I mean, because like even like TV shows, like not many people watch TV shows as they air anymore. A lot of people are watching them on Hulu, and so there's a lot of that, like everyone watching a thing happening simultaneously at once. That whole shared experience. It's usually for fucking terrible things.
Well, yeah.
it's very rare that it's for something dumb and awesome and kind of stupid Americana like the Super Bowl, which is total like Americana personified.
And even like when it comes to the commercials, it's, you know, they spend a lot of money to have these ads and they try to do whatever they can to catch your attention. But at the same time, because they know that's like their one 15, 30 seconds in the spotlight, some of them really do try.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like little mini films like that Paul Harvey one. Like a lot of people bitch because it was like him talking about God, but like in the context of
the farmer one.
It was for Ram truck.
If the payoff wasn't for a Ram truck,
that
commercial would be awesome.
Yeah. It was like a really good, like little film.
Yep.
It took everyone's attention. Like everyone, like all conversations stopped at the party. Like everyone was like, you know, bullshit about the game. And then the commercial came on and literally everyone just like shut up and watched like, what the hell's going on?
Believe it or not, it was Stanley Kubrick who said that if you ignore the advertising aspect of it, commercials are some of the best filmmaking like of all time.
Yeah, that's true.
The commercials this year were fucking bad, though. They were not that good.
Yeah,
in general, my temperature was. I can't think of a single one that is like memorable for a good reason. The most memorable one for the worst reason is that GoDaddy.
Everyone keeps saying that. And I'm like, what did you expect?
Fat nerdy guy makes out with Superman.
No, it's not that. I mean, I'm not.
I know there were some extreme close-ups and shit.
Yeah, it's like from the setup, you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, you know it's going to happen. But it's just like as a nerd, it's offensive. Just like how the movie Gamer.
Oh,
I want to like fucking murder anyone involved in that project because it's just so like okay.
Which, by the way, I find that so not to go on a tangent, but I find it so weird that like people get offended with like nerd stuff now and saying like you know it co-opts my culture or whatever. Like I never thought that like playing video games and liking sci-fi was a culture, but apparently it is.
No,
like,
it's always been a culture, but now today,
well, now it totally is.
But the thing is, like with nerd culture, like quote unquote nerd culture, this is getting really pretentious for the show. So dick fuck pussy tits motherfucker. All right,
yeah.
But nerd culture is main culture. It's pop culture now. Like when you have shows like The Walking Dead, all of a sudden our cool like niche is like everyone's into it, and it's like fuck off, kids. I was here first.
It's growing too fast. And like how you said, like, you're offended. If it continues to grow exponentially as it has been, and also that personal connection to it so that we can be offended, it's going to, like, nerddom is going to be, like, the new gay. Where
it really is.
We're going to, like, oh, nerddom that's offensive to me because you said the balls touching and sometimes that happens or something. Like, people are going to say nerd things. And I'm like, fuck, I'm a nerd. Fuck.
If I listen to one more person say the Konami code to me, which I know for a fact they've never played fucking Contra in the first place,
exactly.
They could eat a bag of dicks. Straight up.
Well, you know what's really funny about shit like that? Like, I was, I don't know, 9 or something when I first started to play, like, Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
A-B-A-C-A-B-B. It's, like, tattooed on my fucking skull. it doesn't go away.
No.
It's one of those things like, I don't know, a CIA spy might be given some drug by the Russians to, like, get information out.
And that's their secret password.
Well, yeah, that's like, if I'm drunk enough, you start asking me questions. You thought I was cool? Nope, because then all the nerd will start to come out. And know I'm a spy.
All the nerd will come out.
I can't pretend to be a nerd anymore. I'm under this drug. Or not to be a nerd.
Wow, we really went on a tangent.
Whatever
there.
The fuck that was so, about.
Yeah, Judge Dredd.
No, oh, Judge Dredd's great because Judge Dredd is about taking like all those, like all of our sub, like all those things that we like hold dear, and then just like running with it, running away with it, and like because like how, like in the future, especially like, you know, like Rob Schneider's characters. If we're gonna go into the first one, he's kind of like a nerdy dweeb.
He is. He's a computer hacker, actually.
Right.
That's why he was in prison initially. It was for like hacking into some mainframe or something
like
that.
But the thing is that the way he looks and acts is not like a computer hacker. It's like it's like watching Swordfish. You're just like.
What? Yeah. You don't see Halle Berry's tits when you're hacking computers and shit? I mean,
when you are programming, it is not akin to getting a blowjob.
Oh, come on!
Have you ever seen this movie?
You never saw Swordfish?
I saw part of it.
You totally see Halle Berry's boobs, which doesn't matter anymore because now Monsters Ball exists. But back in the day, like that was a
big
deal.
She got screwed in that movie.
By Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. French fried potatoes.
Dredd, get the Dredd. Stop all this. Stop it. I was trying to get the Dredd, and then you took it to the...
I'm sorry.
You're too far. All right. Everybody shut up. Dredd, 1995. Written by William Wisher and Stephen D'Souza.
When there is crime in society, there is no justice. As a city, we continue to grow.
73 citizen riots.
Come and get us!
Throw out your weapons and prepare to be judged! Judge this!
Court's adjourned.
Baby!
You're a legend. You were my finest student.
Dredd!
You're under arrest.
What's the charge?
Murder.
The evidence has been falsified!
Guilty as charged.
I never broke the law! I am the law!
Was it Steven or Stefan?
It's a Steven, I think.
It's always Steven. It's Stefan. When that question arises,
fair enough.
You always go Stefan.
Stefan D'Souza. It's no surprise that this movie, it kind of takes a step away from the source material and becomes a total action movie, because he wrote this along with Die Hard movies, Running Man, Commando, Street Fighter.
Oh, he wrote Street Fighter?
He wrote Street Fighter. I forgot about that.
It's no surprise that this movie is exactly like those movies, just with Dredd in the middle. It was directed by Danny Cannon, who didn't do a whole lot. He does mostly television now.
Okay.
But he also did I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh. That movie was terrible.
But it's like the same movie, but now Jack Black is in it, and he thinks he's reggae or something. He's Rastafarian.
You said I Still Know What You Did, so it wasn't even the first
one. It was
a sequel.
It was a sequel.
I saw it in the theater, and I wanted my dollar. I saw it in the dollar theater, and I wanted my dollar back.
Okay. That's a little bit more excusable.
All right.
Our story begins as Judge Dredd, of course, Sylvester Stallone. He's sort of the Dirty Harry of Mega City 1. He's being called off his regular beat. It seems that his specific or particular Dredd style of peacekeeping is a little too extreme. he's getting a lot of bad press. And in fact, there's a reporter who's like he's making it his mission to expose Dredd and the other judges as being overly violent and stuff.
Basically, like thugs. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're
overly violent.
Totalitarians and things.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they don't really collect much evidence. They could just say everyone deserves death, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just, I guess it's interesting in the context, because, like, I mean, it's supposedly in the megacity, it's hyper-violent. Like, there's just violence everywhere.
Yeah. So, like... There's no due process.
To, like, be like, oh, oh, Judge, you're being awfully harsh on that guy. It's like he just killed a bunch of innocent people. Right. Like, what?
So while Dredd is laying low at the police academy teaching cadets, the reporter that's kind of like digging into him and doing exposés and all this, well, he's making such a stink that he winds up dead. And naturally, everyone thinks Dredd may have had something to do with it. Before long, he's in court defending himself. And they prove that he is, in fact, the murderer because his DNA was...
it was on his gun. Like, they imprint the DNA on every bullet.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it was made-up science. So.
Well, yes, but...
It was science!
And naturally, you know, he says, "What? I didn't break the law. I am the law." So now he's in a prison transport headed to the Aspen Penis Colony. I mean, Penile Colony. You were all thinking it anyway. This is where Dredd meets...
Just doing you a favor. Just get it out there.
Yeah, I know.
Just whipping it out.
This is where Dredd meets Herman Ferguson. This is the Rob Schneider character. He's the comic relief. And very important to the plot. The two of them go way back. Apparently, Dredd recently arrested him for hacking into some type of service droid or whatever.
The recycled food droid.
Yeah, but really, which, by the way, I love that thing.
Yeah.
Eat recycled food. It's good for the environment and okay for you. So, to save his own life, because they're like thugs with guns, he hides in it. And, like, way after all the action's done, Dredd finds him and reprimands him for doing damage to a public droid or whatever. Yeah. And sentences him to, I think it was 5 years.
5 years because he violated parole. He was on parole.
Oh,
so
yeah,
then,
that's what,
like,
it was.
It was going to be 6 months, but it's like, uh-oh, violated parole, 5 years.
So now there they are together sitting next to one another on this prison transport. Irony?
Yes, I think so.
So he's like, "Oh, Dredd, you're the guy, you know, you're the reason I'm here." And some of the other inmates on this transport.
Yeah, he
over
just starts
here,
shouting the word Dredd, and everyone just like pops up.
Because actually, I'm sure most of the guys there.
He busted.
Yeah, at one point or another. So all hell breaks loose. They're all trying to get at Dredd. The damn thing, the transport crashes in the cursed Earth area.
Dun, dun, dun.
He and Herman, Dredd and Herman, are the only two to survive. And so they start to trek through this barren wasteland, and they encounter mutants and cannibals.
The dreaded angel family.
Yeah, which has like a half-robot son thing. I don't know.
It's called a cyborg.
Yes.
Oh, maybe. I do give this, like, right at this point, I do give this movie some credit because it does stick fairly close to the source material here, because it included all this other stuff that it kind of didn't really have to.
Yeah.
Because it's in the second movie, the new one, Dredd, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
That particular story is a little bit, like, closed. You don't see the scope or scale of Mega City as much,
right,
or, like, all the other... Like, you hear talk about mutants, but you don't see any, where in this movie you do. So, I don't know. I tip my hat for that reason. I also wag my finger for the fact that they use Stallone's celebrity so much to try to sell this. Because, okay, so he gets arrested. Naturally, they're going to take all his weapons and everything away from him, including his helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like in the comic book, I don't think ever his helmet's off.
Never.
People were so mad about that. They're like, "Dredd takes his helmet off."
There's actually one panel in which early on where the artist drew Dredd without his helmet on.
Oh, really?
And the editor saw it and literally like put a like redacted block over it.
Wow.
And his face has never been shown.
That's funny. I wonder if they'll do the same thing where as Inspector Gadget, where they make the toy of
Dr. Claw.
Yeah, where you never see him in the cartoon, but they just sort of made up a face.
Well, they actually did. There actually is a Judge Dredd toy, and people wanted to see it looking without the helmet, so they like forced the helmet off, even though it couldn't come off. And then, of course, the head was just like fucked up plastic. So.
that's how I want the reality to be. Yeah. Right? That's how I want the real Dredd to be. His helmet off, it's just a mutant face. Oh no, I knew.
Well, as the two make their way through a cursed Earth, like I said, they encounter mutants and cannibals and rednecks. Because the Angel family's kind of, they have that.
They're
I knew that rednecks would make it through the apocalypse.
They'll find a way. So while all that's happening, Judge Hershey, who is sort of like Dredd's partner, she's the love interest in this particular action.
As much as you can have a love interest for Judge Dredd.
Yeah. She, you know, witnessed the whole thing where he got arrested and was obviously framed because
she defended him.
Yeah, she defended him in court. Yeah. In a rather strange, pointless... Well, it's good that it was there, that scene, but everything that went on in it was fucking stupid. All right, I'll explain. So, they have this footage of Dredd kicking the door down of this reporter's apartment. And you hear the reporter say, "Oh, Dredd," and then he gets shot a bunch, him and his wife. And so this woman, Hershey, she brings in some, like, cadet who's an expert in imagery and whatever. And he puts his two cents in, and he says, "Oh, this, you know, with the grain of this footage and whatever, you can't prove that that was Dredd. And in fact, it's been, you know, public record that the judges' badges can be reproduced and falsified.
Their
and
so there's can be
yeah. So there's no way that we can prove that this is Dredd." And I'm like, "Why the fuck are you an expert? He's wearing a mask. That's all you have to say. Anyone can do that."
Yeah. He just comes in wearing a big fucking helmet. It's, yeah. That could be anybody.
Not to mention, like, this takes place in the future. And so as the video is playing back, the judges?
Yeah, the judges, like, supreme judges. Yeah.
They can talk to the computer, and the computer responds in a very
like sultry Cortana voice.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, why
that
the fuck is any of this happening?
Judge?
These are the little things that make this fucking movie, like, dumb to watch. I feel dumber for having watched it.
And also, aren't, like, the judges, aren't they the judges? Like, and so courtrooms are kind of not
judge.
But then when you get older, you become like a supreme judge or whatever.
Yeah.
And then after that, you gotta retire. And when you retire, you get sent to the fucking cursed earth. I was like, why does that happen? Like, there's a whole, like, there's a whole, like, religious thing behind this. Like,
it does kind of seem
they,
like
become
is.
A pilgrim, and they teach law to the lawless. They come out there with a gun and the book of law, and that's it. They gotta, like, teach the mutants the law. And it's like, that's who thought that was a good idea? You're gonna be fucking eaten within the first day.
Yeah, that's how I imagine. They get 10 miles out, and then they're just, like, beaten up and robbed and eaten.
Giant T-Rex, mutant T-Rex, you gotta never eat them.
I also thought it was kind of like, Logan's Run. Oh, it's sort of like you reach a certain age, then you have to take this journey.
I assume that's what it was, that, like, they didn't allow old people in Mega City, so it was that.
Old people. Yeah. We have too many new people. We need really these old people. So, yeah, she's been looking more into Hershey Judge Hershey, Dredd's partner, has been looking more into his case. And she finds out that Dredd has a brother. Apparently, there was a program some time ago that took the DNA of the best judges they had at the time and sort of engineered the supreme judges who Dredd and his apparent brother, Rico, are. They're these supreme...
Yeah, his name is Rico. I assume his name is Rico Dredd.
So. Yeah. And so the two of these are pretty much like the only ones they've ever made. It was a trial thing, and neither Rico or Dredd knew that they were made in a test tube, essentially. So they're supposed to be the best at what they do, except Rico, he went bad.
Yeah.
he passed date. He soured. He curdled. And in fact, Dredd at one point had to judge him. He put him away and he's been in jail. But all of this leads up to a plot to...
we're at the plot now?
Oh, there is a plot.
There's a plot here. Great.
Rico has been released secretly, of course, by one of the... council of judges, one of them, whatever the fuck you want to call them.
Mega judge.
Yeah.
Let's keep with the naming, the nomenclature.
Yeah. We'll use, like, the same four words in different orders. So secretly, he was released to assassinate as many judges as he can, So that there would be a need to reopen this engineering program. So now that we could make as many, like almost like an army of these genetic judges, making the existing judges obsolete, and at this point, they can be used to just sort of like as a wave of judges move through Mega City 1, getting rid of all the crime once and for all, and no one will have rights, I guess.
Apparently,
and,
yeah.
But Rico's too smart for that, and he's going to use all these clones to do his bidding,
that's
and
right.
He wants his brother by his side, and that's why he framed him, to get him out of the picture, and even though he could have just shot him, too. Like, that whole part of the movie doesn't really need to happen. And these are all reasons why, as a kid, I thought this movie was fucking dumb. And I still think it's pretty dumb, but at least I appreciate it more now on, like, an action movie. You know, I can watch it, and I know that I don't have to really think, and it's better that way.
Yeah, it seems like, just from the little bit I was watching, the more you try to analyze this film, the more of a headache you're going to give yourself.
Yeah.
Like, on any level, like plot reasons, like motivations, anything, just like, what? All right, just keep going.
I'm surprised it was smart enough to try to work some sort of, like, detective story in there.
Well, 'cause
it's got a, like... quote, I'm using air quotes here. It's got a lot of like cloak and dagger type of like behind the curtain, but yeah. Then
yeah, but I hate that type of storytelling where it's like you never see the enemy till like the bad guy till the very end. Mm-hmm. Like, aha, I was the one who orchestrated
yeah.
everything. It's like, oh, go away.
Well, that's again why this is dumb, because you see everything as it's happening.
Yeah.
You see Rico, who's the bad guy, like do all this dumb shit, and then you see him later meet with a guy who let him out, and then they talk about their goals. So it spoils
like really,
any mystery.
Really, yeah.
But it, you know, they still tried. You know,
yeah.
That's, you gotta give them credit or
right.
not. I don't know. So the two of them fight, and Dredd throws Rico out of the Statue of Liberty. Yes, the Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
And he and Hershey kiss at the end. That's
apparently killing Rico absolved him of all of his crimes, and then that's that. Yeah.
Well, to be honest, they could look at his body and see
the
same DNA.
Yeah, and see the same DNA.
But you know what was like really dumb about this? Because I rewatched it to talk about it today. And there are the obvious things that I kind of mentioned, but I kind of put those in the back of my mind. But after all this happens, like, over a period of a day and then into the night, like, it's the middle of the night when he and Rico square off. So the sun rises the next day and everything's peaceful. And Dredd is offered, like, the position
of the super judge.
And he says, no, I'm just, a beat cop or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he puts on his armor and his helmet. He's still all dirty and, like, bleeding.
Yeah,
and, like,
what the fuck are you,
of all things, I'm like, really?
I thought it was kind of badass. I thought that was kind of, like, the thing that that Judge Dredd would do. He's like, yeah,
doesn't
I'm all
he
beat
need
up.
To sleep?
But no, he's a fucking judge, man. So should I just get right into the new Dredd, then we can compare and contrast?
So good.
Okay.
Is there anything else like that needs to be discussed other than Rob fucking Schneider?
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that. Like, I just wanted to get the plot of the next one done, then we can like do the two of them together.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I guess the only thing.
Oh,
did yeah. I had, no? Yeah, fuck it. Go ahead.
Okay. So the new Dredd, which just came out last year, it has a very, very simple story, so it's not going to be that difficult to like go through.
Such a good story.
But like, I don't mean simple as in a bad way. I mean
no,
like sometimes less is more.
We can find our desires. Ooh, when we start making fire.
Makes the brain feel as if time is passing at 1% its normal speed.
We get absorbed.
If we play this right, we could take the whole city.
Peace Trees is the manufacturing base for all the slow-mo in Mega City 1.
You know how often we get a judge up in Peace Trees?
Well, you got one now.
This film, Dredd, played by Carl Urban, is training a new recruit, Anderson. I can't remember who played her, but
I got it.
You got it? Okay. Yeah.
It's Olivia Thirlby. She was in Twilight.
Oh.
Yeah, she had a small role.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway,
that movie gave me a small role.
I have to mention it because she was in it, and also because she's really good in this movie.
Yeah,
I really liked her.
she applied to be a judge before, but flunked out. But they want to get her again because she has psychic powers, which I'm not sure if that is like in the.
It's a mutant. She's a mutant.
Yeah. Oh, she's one of the mutants.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Some mutants have different things, and her mutant powers are the ability to be a psychic.
And right. Yeah, they think
other,
her, like,
have, other mutants have, like, three arms, and other mutants have, like, three nipples. And...
Wow, so she really lucked out in the mutant thing. But,
well, I mean, that's kind of how mutants go.
Yeah, it's
all
true.
That
yeah.
and looks.
Yeah. All that and a nice set of rags.
So, yeah, they want to use her telepathic powers for... the good of Mega City or whatever. And Dredd, he ain't gonna take no shit. He's like, if you screw up once, that's an automatic fail or whatever. I'm trying to do the Dredd voice, but it sounds more like fucking Batman. Where's the trigger? And then that's pretty much it. The whole story takes place over the course of one day. And it's just Dredd training this woman. It's kind of like the Denzel Washington movie Training Day, except instead of Denzel, it's Judge Dredd, and he's badass.
Dredd doesn't make her get high.
Yeah. But the story takes us to this one of these like giant city block sized apartment complexes.
Mega blocks.
Because three people have been skinned alive and then thrown from the building, and the judges are there to investigate. And it turns out the whole building is run by this. Crazy, like, drug dealer chick who...
The Mama Clan.
The Mama Clan, yeah, that's right. And Mama, she basically muscled her way through all the other, like, dealers that were on that apartment complex. Now, like, runs the entire criminal empire in that one, like, mega building or whatever.
Mega Blocks.
Thank you. And,
Is that what they're actually
called? They're
actually
called Mega Blocks. Yeah. No, that's what I love about it, because it's like...
they're generic Lego.
It's Mega City. It's a Mega Highway. It's Mega Blocks. Like, I love it.
And then when she finds out about Dredd and everything, she decides... Oh, that's right. They do arrest one of her, like, main people, and then she's afraid that this guy's going to squeal and everything like that. So she basically shuts down the entire Mega Block and tells everyone living there, you know, the first person to kill these judges gets whatever it is, you know, like, some sort of reward. And then...
And that she's not going to, like, take... Like, she's not going to unlock the block.
Oh, that's right. She's going to keep them locked in there until these judges are dead. And, then the whole, like, fucking building goes nuts, and Dredd basically, it's basically like a video game, like, Dredd has to fight his way through all these various levels, and the enemies get harder and harder,
like a Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah, including a couple of judges who are actually, like, corrupt judges that are on the drug dealer's payroll and shit like that. Don't want to give too much away, but Dredd is a total badass. He kicks the shit out of everyone and everything.
And
there's also lots of stylish slow-mo.
Yeah, I mean, the plot is really simple, and that's basically the plot is, like, judges go into building. Building gets locked down. Judges need to find a way to get out.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's why I like it better than the 95 one. The 95 one was almost, like, too ambitious. Because, like, it tried to incorporate the entire world, you know, and then a lot gets lost, especially with the whole, like, super judges and their, like, backhanded stuff or whatever, you know, trying to, like, show the corruption of the city or whatever. You don't need that shit. This whole, like, mega block is just, like, a microcosm of the entire city,
yeah,
you know?
Right, yeah.
Well, that's why, like, I think the original loses a lot, because they were making it... It wasn't like an 80s action movie where it was R and they could have been real bloody. They pulled the reins back a little bit, you know.
Even though it was rated R. Yeah, the 95 movie was R.
Yeah,
but
it seemed too cartoonish.
Yeah, it's way cartoonish.
Right, and I guess that's the big thing to point out with the new Dredd. The new Dredd is bloody.
Super gory.
Mm-hmm. It is like disturbingly violent at times. Like, it's tough to see it on the small screen at home, but there's in that first scene they go to, like, do the drug bust to get the lieutenant. There's a part where they show in slow-mo the dude getting shot through the mouth.
Yeah.
But on the large screen, you can actually see, like, the teeth shattering and parts of the jaw getting blown off. And it's like really it's really gross. And I always applaud any, like, director or, like, you know, filmmaker that can make violence be disturbing.
Yeah.
Because it's so, like, everywhere. Like, I mean, our culture is, like, hyper-violent.
Right.
And you mentioned the slow-mo. Like, The idea behind that drug.
It's like this new drug that just like slows everything down. So
to like 1%
I think is what
they're saying. 1% of actual speed.
So a minute feels like 2 hours or whatever it is. Yeah. But then like when the mama lady was going to skin those guys alive and then beforehand she was going to like give them the slow-mo drug. That's fucked up.
Yeah, right. I have to say that everything that the camera picks up, like, because you see some first person view of like the person who's on slow mo, like everything's really pretty and sparkly.
Yeah,
and I'm
it
like,
really is.
Can I get some of that?
Right. Yeah. Totally. No. And like,
it looks awesome.
It's a really cool future drug. I love future drugs.
You would probably know more than I do, but was there a reason to do the whole movie inside one like building budgetary?
From what I understand, it was a low budget. And watching some of the featurettes, like they basically only made like four stories of one corner of the block.
Okay.
So like they were able to like basically do a lot with a little. Mm-hmm. It was like one soundstage for all of that.
Okay,
but I mean that's all I know. And from what it just was a very cheap budget. But I think almost like narratively, it makes sense to have it in just one building because I think that's one of the things I love the most about this movie is that. It's going way back and using very basic narrative tools and almost like they're so on the nose. Like, so the story takes place in one building, in a tower. You have your rising action as you're going up in the building. Yeah. And then after the after the climax, the falling action is literally going back down the building.
Yeah.
And so there's something that's really like elementary about it that I just love because it's such an easy story. Anyone can sit down and like pick it up. It's not trying to be too heady. It's just, we're going to tell a cool story.
It's one of its strengths is definitely like the less is more element.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like I said, in the first movie, you get to see a lot more of Dredd's world, but at the same time, it's a less good movie because of it. It tries to jam too much in.
I love that they show the cursed Earth, and you get to see a little bit of that. But just like in the new movie, just to know that there is a cursed Earth out there makes it way more foreboding than actually seeing like mutant hillbillies and shit.
Yeah.
Like,
and the way this is like a day in the life of Dredd, if there's any sequel,
right,
you could have
anything.
Like another whole movie where he's in cursed Earth for whatever the reason is.
For all we know, the 95 movie could have picked up where this movie left off.
That's
right,
true.
Exactly. Yeah, no, precisely.
But like it leaves any other sequels or anything, like anything's open. You can do anything.
Yeah.
Right.
But I do like a lot of things in the 95 one. Like, again, a lot of it is budgetary because the look of Mega City in that is really good. And
yeah, well, actually, it's funny. The nostalgic critic, he described the... Mega City 1 from the 95 movie as being the city from Fifth Element taking a dump on the city from Blade Runner after eating the city from Mario Brothers.
That's actually pretty
good.
Yeah,
pretty good.
And that's like spot
that's pretty
on.
Good, yeah. Actually.
But no, I just like the look and feel of everything. You don't see a lot of that in the new Dredd because, again, it all takes place in one building and a lot of it is like budgetary. But the new one, I think the only thing that I thought was dated looking was that like flying motorcycle chase through the buildings.
Yeah.
You could really see the green screen.
Yeah.
Other than that, a lot of it looks good, but a lot of that ambition is lost in the character of Dredd. Like, just him taking his helmet off, you gotta do that, because when you're doing, like, Dredd's, like, whole backstory and finding he's a clone and all this shit, you can't have him wearing a big, like, fuck-all helmet the whole time.
He's a baby. He's a baby in the Dredd.
So, like, I think that this new one is obviously way truer to Dredd, because, it's just one day, so he can't take his helmet off, you know, obviously. But we were discussing it, John. Like, Dredd, as a character, is more like a cipher.
Yeah.
Almost. He's like this, like, perfectly lawful character, you know, and you can't really have him as a protagonist.
No, because you don't know anything about him. Because even in the comics, like Dredd is basically the reader. Like you're reading through his eyes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And,
okay.
I mean, you still see him. You're not like not first person, but like they never really explain any of his history. You learn it from the characters around him, and that's why he is like the perfect cipher for a lot of these stories. And that's why even in the first one, he needed Rob Schneider as the person to like him to bounce off of, and just like in the new one, he needed Anderson. Like, without Anderson, That movie, there's no point
there
to it.
There would be
really
no dialogue. It would just be Dredd kicking everyone's ass, and that's it.
And the other really cool thing about the new Dredd is, like, even though Carl Urban has a constant scowl on his face, he still is able to, like, go through the range of emotions.
Yeah. He emotes so much with just, like, the bottom of his chin.
Like, yeah. It's really impressive. Yeah. Like, just as, like, looking at an actor, like, working on his craft, I'm like, damn, that must have taken forever just to, like, focus on that much control.
No, Carl Urban's a really good actor. He's the same guy that played Bones. In the new, it's Dr. McCoy in the new Star Trek.
Yeah.
And then before that, he was Éomer from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Everyone forgets about that.
I didn't forget about that. I know Lord of the Rings predominantly. Yeah.
One of the things that I like about the Dredd in the comic and the new movie is that he is the embodiment of the law.
Yeah.
And I think, like, in theory, that can be used in a lot of different interesting ways, different stories. Because if he's put in some situation where the law, he witnesses the law being bent, but it's for good, doesn't he still punish the guy who, or the person who is, you know, doing that?
Yeah, because, like, even at the end of the first one, he sort of bends it a little bit too. So it shows that he's not, super black and white, that there is still, like, a gray area for him. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, you're right. Because, like, just because he is so rigid in a lot of ways, that he's the interesting person to plop down in the middle of a scenario. And say, how is this very rigid individual and character?
He's all rules in a world where there aren't any.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And that's why you need a good supporting character too. Because, I mean, Anderson was pretty much the moral center of the new movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, of course, that brings us to Rob fucking Schneider, who could have been that guy. I actually, like, I'm going to get killed for this, but I like Rob Schneider's character in this. Like, the idea of this, like little hacker guy who's, like, following Dredd around or whatever.
Yeah.
But played by Rob Schneider, now he just becomes comedy relief. And, like, during every badass action scene, he's always there cracking jokes. He's like, shut the fuck up, you know?
So, well, like, if you had his character in the new movie, he wouldn't be funny. But he would still be...
He would be like a human element. He would be like the audience proxy or something, you know? Like, we need someone to, like, bring us into this world, and it's not going to be Dredd, because Dredd, like, is that world, you know? So you need somebody else. I think Hershey was probably better, but, of course, Hershey was hardly in, like, you know, Dredd's story. She was just there solving the mystery. But again, like, she was like Anderson. She was, like, that moral center that we could, like, relate to.
Yeah.
And, you know, either be like, this world was just totally chaotic, or Dredd, which is, like, totally the law, you know? It's like, we need something in the center, you know?
Yeah.
And they tried to do that with Rob Schneider, but it was Rob Schneider. So.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think it's great, too, because even in the new one of how they're telling the story, because, yeah, there's really no setup. Like, whereas even in the first movie, like, in the 95 one, there's, like, this whole text that rolls down the screen that explains what the hell's going on. Like, the only explanation you have is Carl Urban's voiceover in the very beginning, which just says, Mega City 1, you know, it's the only thing that separates us from the wastelands of the rest of the Earth. You know, we have mega highways, mega city, mega blocks. And that's it. Like, that's the only setup you have.
Yep.
And then as you're, and then as Anderson's character, and she is very much the proxy for the audience, she's getting chucked into the deep end of just being a judge. And just as we, the viewer, are being less like, this whole world is just being, like, shown, like, iso cubes.
Yeah.
Meat wagons.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're never explained any of these terms, but I think all of us are like, I think we know what that means.
Well, yeah, I can figure out what a meat wagon is.
Yep. That's probably another good reason why it's a training, like, thing, because we're learning as she's learning.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. You know, like, you mentioned that Anderson was the, like, the moral center.
Yeah.
I think, you know, compared to Rob Schneider in the first, not only is she that, but she's also, like, human.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the way he's, like, so the way Dredd in the new movie is so on or off.
Right.
She's, like, always trying to offer, like, a third option.
Right.
Like,
right.
Well, you know, maybe we don't have to kill everyone. Right. Maybe. Because he seems like he wouldn't be, you know, human. That's his job. It is what it is.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the coolest parts of the new movies, when the other judges come in and they're like, are you, like, this is the meat grinder. Mega City's a meat grinder, and we're turning the handle. And, you know, like, and, you know, Judge definitely agrees with all of that, because the entire movie he's just been wasting fools.
Yeah.
But it's,
he's
like,
got a job to do.
Right. But it's like that moment where he's like, you can sort to see kind of how he's actually, like, that Anderson's voice is in his head now, or it's just like, see, like, I could, like, yeah, it is a meat grinder, and I'm a judge, just like you're a judge. I'm now, like, I could be very much in your position, so maybe I need to back off a little bit.
So Dredd's a great character, but only when other people are, like, working around
him. Yeah. No.
And when that person's Rob Schneider, then it just becomes, like, jokey corniness.
Yeah, in the worst.
Which I don't mind that much, at least as far as, like, the tone of the movie is, because it's like watching The Dark Knight compared to Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Like, one is
actually going to make that.
Like, one is totally serious and one is completely joking. And you can tell, like, they were going complete over the top with the old one, because the scene with Armand DeSante, who played Rico, and Yorgon Prochnow, who played the, like, the head, like, super judge, any scene where they're arguing with each other, oh, dude, it is Shakespeare in the Park, like, complete,
really good.
Like, hammy.
A lot of
Enjoy
power going
my
on.
Acting talent, you know, it's like that kind of thing.
You know what else I thought was kind of funny? You mentioned like the judge who Rico's working with.
Yeah,
I think it's funny that he's sort of like the brains behind this whole scheme, and he's like the ultimate bad guy,
right?
And he's also like German or whatever. Like, it goes back to Star Wars. Like, all the bad guys,
all the bad guys are foreign.
Yeah. Like, I was watching that, and I'm like, typical.
Oh, you're a guy.
And also, I mean, we haven't really talked at all about Mama, played by Lena Headey. She plays Cersei Lannister from Game of Thrones, for any of your nerds that watch that. But I think she did terrific.
She was a great villain, actually. Much better than Armand DeSante, because just, like, well, again, the two, like, tones of the movie. But, she was intense. I liked her story, too. Just the whole, like, she started out as a prostitute who then, like, worked her way up basically by, like, muscling her way into, like, everything, and then eventually took over this whole complex. She's an entrepreneur. Like, it's great. Except, you know, her trade is murder and drugs. But still.
Give her a hand.
Yeah.
The new one's great. Everyone should go see it.
Yeah, you should. It's good. The only, last thing I want to talk about, at least like for right now, unless you guys want to bring something else up, but was...
I could talk for probably another 3 hours about this movie. You guys got time? Want me to get a pot of coffee going?
But if you want to do like a budgetary comparison, I look no further than the music of both these movies. Because the old one, Alan Silvestri, who like does a great score for any movie he does. He also did like the Back to the Future soundtrack and Predator and I think Die Hard and a bunch of other stuff. But anyway, his music is just like, it's like the Star Wars thing. It's, you know, epic, and there's like big horns and like, you know, big dramatic like flares and everything like that.
Yeah.
Whereas the new one is like straight John Carpenter, like synthesized. All you can hear is boom, 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 which is like great. Because again, it fits the tone of the movie. But
like, I always loved that type of music for an action movie like this, just because like a lot of it's just like a bass line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
it never stops.
Yeah. It's like a driving beat. It's like a heartbeat. It pushes everything along. And it's so simple and it works every time.
Yeah. No, it was great. The soundtrack reminded me of Escape from New York. And I was like in that mindset when that was going on, you know?
Yeah.
But it just shows like the differences in budgets in these two movies. You know?
Hey, I mean, I could talk about how it makes the new Dread so good.
Is there anything you think we left out?
No, I mean, without going through each scene individually, like, but there's just like really impressive visuals. I will speak to this though. I mean, I saw it in 3D, and it is a 3D movie originally, but the coolest thing is that it's some of the least aggressive 3D I've ever seen. And I think it comes through in when you actually watch it, like when you watch the movie, there is none of those, oh, this would be the 3D scene.
Right.
Because the scenes that would be that are the drug scenes.
I was going to say, I've seen the slow-mo scenes were all 3D.
And so they're able to kind of covertly have those 3D scenes. So if you see it in 3D, it is awesome. But like when you see it, you have enough other shit to look at that you don't feel like you're getting gypped out of a scene, or the scene has no purpose. And I hate 3D because it's very contrived in a lot
it
of ways.
Is extremely contrived, yes.
And also it hurts my eyes. Like I get the headaches and stuff. And so I was really happy that it wasn't like, here's a fucking bullet coming at your face.
Oh, that's the other thing I was going to say. This new movie was really short.
Yeah.
And I love that because we seem to be in an age now where every movie has to be 8 hours long.
No, I actually was like, when the movie finished, I was like, that was like the perfect fucking length for a movie.
It was great,
it's an hour and a half.
That's all you need.
Remember when movies were an hour and a half? Those were the days.
Those were the days. Fuck you, Hobbit. You can eat a bag of dicks, Hobbit. Peter Jackson, get off my fucking lawn. I'm tired of people watching movies and people running. I don't want to pay money for that shit anymore. Now I can see him running fucking 48 frames. Guess what? They're still running.
Still going to talk about the frame rate, aren't we? You're never going to let that go.
It's the wave of the future.
But they're just running. But now they're running in more frames.
We're going to have flying cars and colonies under the ocean in 48 frames a second or whatever. Our movies are going to be so real, you'll think you're in them. And then you won't know where you parked your car.
And they're going to last for 7 hours.
Yeah. Maybe that is the idea. Maybe they're trying to get people to forget that what reality is, and they're just a part of the...
People just start passing out and dying in movie theaters.
Remember that guy, like, back in the 70s or 80s who played D&D so hard? Like, oh. Mazes and Monsters was based on
yeah,
it. Like,
yeah.
Is that what's going to happen? We're going to see, like, The Hobbit Part 2, and some guy's going to try to, like, climb into the screen.
I want to go to the mountain!
Yeah, right.
If that does happen, I hope that I'm in the theater when it does.
I hope I'm in the theater when it does, too. And he actually climbs in there, because that would be a mind fuck, right?
Yeah.
Like,
what? Where the fuck do they make these 3D glasses? What's going on?
They come from Japan.
Oh, no.
They must be real.
Everything's futuristic in Japan.
Have you been to Japan? They're basically, physically and literally, they're like 2 years ahead of us.
Yeah.
I think it's like, when you go that way, the hour differential puts you 2 years in advance. So.
Just jumping through a time warp, man.
You know how hard it is to get my big, fat American brain to move as fast as their little, tidy, advanced ones?
About 10 McDonald's
it's like
cheeseburgers.
A computer analogy.
Oh, I think we're done talking about
that. We're
really
on a tangent there.
Yeah.
But,
this episode was weird.
Yeah, well. So anyway, in
you're
conclusion.
Welcome.
In conclusion, 95 Judge Dredd, good Stallone movie, not very good Dredd movie. 2012 Dredd movie. From what I've heard from comic fans, it does it like a great justice. So, yeah.
I think
Dredd, just like with the Dark Knight and the Batman and all that stuff, is that it is breaking out of it being a comic book movie. Like that is like a good action movie, or like, it doesn't have to have the comic disclaimer.
It's makes the material is good for a serious adaptation.
Yeah,
like because you can't take some like 70s goofy ass Superman story where he's fighting characters that were just invented for that one story, and because like back then there were a lot of those, they were just really goofy and generic. You can't take something that silly and make it serious, where Batman and Dredd, like, you can do that,
right?
And it's believable and it's good
and not good.
So do we have any comments as of late?
No.
Aww. Boo.
My mom said I'm handsome.
Well, there you go.
Hey! So this is what everyone should do. Everyone should watch both of the Dredds and get let us know their thoughts on it.
You should, yeah, because I'm curious as to what people think about the 95 Dredd.
Just because.
I'm also hoping to find someone who saw the new Dredd and didn't like it.
He's going to want to fight you.
I don't want to fight you because I.
He will punch
you
in
like
the face.
I'm like the biggest cheerleader for this movie. Yeah, and I always love hearing like dissenting opinions on things because a lot of times there'll be things that I'll overlook just because, I'm like, it's so good!
Yeah, I've done that.
Right. Whereas I feel like with The Hobbit, I'm very much, and even like, I'm the one who comes down on it. And we're like, what is The Hobbit so great? I'm like, I don't know about that. But it's all great. I'm like, I don't know about that, guys. The Hobbit was pretty okay, at best.
Well, with that in mind, please be sure to check out our super cool website, slaughterfilm.com. We've got news and reviews related to horror, and in my case, lately, action movies, because apparently I just forgot that we were a horror site. But
we won't judge. Also, make sure to leave any questions or comments you've got, whether it be email or on Facebook, Facebook or YouTube or whatever.
That was really weird. The whole thing glitched out for a second. It sounded like you said something and then rewinded and said it again.
The fucking Matrix is at it again.
That's two times you said that movie
in
this show. One more time and I stopped the show.
No, we've got to get to a phone. They're coming for us.
That was an okay reference. Carry on.
Until next time.
Court's adjourned.
This edition of Slaughter Film has been brought to you by our producer, John Linvay, introduced by me, Ricky Morrow, and music by Xeno Genocide.